of your door. See, there is somebody that can never get out of your knocking. Anytime God
exposes himself, you are, talk to the Lord right now.
And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was changed.
Father, we give you praise. Lord, as we hear your word and study your word once again, we are blessed. We are edified. I want to hear your amen louder. We are edified and Christ is glorified. First Peter chapter 3 verse 15. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. The Bible says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." What's he saying in essence? He's saying that as a Christian, you must be able to properly articulate and defend the reason why you do the things you do. Are you with me? It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you." So, why do you believe in Jesus? You should be able to explain. Are you with me? Why do you speak in tongues? You should be able to explain. What is speaking in tongues about? You should be able to do what? Explain. And that's why, for a ministry like ours, we envision a generation with the passion for the glory of Christ by maturing the saints unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We believe that if people will truly embrace all that Christ offers, they must understand. Are you with me? And that's why we must have services like this, where we explain in detail what we do and why we do what we do. Are you with me? Are you with me? So, we have been talking about prayer. You know, June's teaching series was on fire, spiritual vitality. But July is on fire part two. Are you with me? And we began to talk about the subject of prayer. And when we talked about what is prayer, then we talked about how to pray. And then we began to talk about praying in tongues or praying in the spirit. For a subject as important as this, we need to take our time and explain. Were you blessed by last week's Sunday's teaching? Where we began to explain what is speaking in tongues. Why do we speak in tongues? Why is speaking in tongues necessary? Thank you, Jesus. Once again, anyone who is sick under the sound of my voice, you are healed right now in the name of Jesus. You are healed right now in the name of Jesus. I command that infirmity, check out in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we began to explain what is speaking in tongues. Why should we speak in tongues? Why is speaking in tongues necessary? But today, I want us to address the misconceptions people have about speaking in tongues. I want to ask, is that an important subject? You know, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." That's not my emphasis. My emphasis is the B part of that verse. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. This was Paul speaking to Timothy. It says, "How thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth." So, Paul is telling Timothy that, you see, the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. If there is any place where doubts must be dissolved, questions must be answered, or if there is any place where the things of God must be clearly spelled out, is the church. Are you with me? So when you come to church, apart from receiving miracles, apart from receiving healings, deliverance, and change, you must also learn of God. Are you with me? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You must also learn. You must be able to ask questions and get questions answered in church. You know, there's a popular song that used to ring, but until I studied the Bible, I found out that, well, it's correct but not complete. Unquestionable, you are the Lord. Unquestionable. I get the point. You cannot question God, like query him, but he wants you to reason with him. Our faith is not a blind faith. Are you with me? Christianity is not just blind believing. It's a logical faith. Everything we do can be explained from the scriptures. Everything. So before I go on, I want to make it clear. How many of us agree that the Bible is the word of God? Jesus Christ. Half of us are not raising our hands. If you disagree, I wonder what we did in the month of May. Because in the month of May, I actually took time to address those questions. Maybe I will do it again. The Bible is the word of God. The Bible is the fulcrum. The lawyers, you call it the ground norm, right? Am I correct? The ground norm of our faith. So, everything we believe, everything we practice, must be proved from the scriptures. Are you with me? Are you with me? Yes, Jesus, I need your feedback. Oh. Are you with me? Okay. And so, we're going to examine the misconceptions people have about speaking in tongues from the scriptures. What does the Bible have to say about them? But before I go on, let us define a misconception. What is a misconception? A misconception is a mistaken idea, view, or opinion that is incorrect because it is based on a faulty reasoning, lack of understanding, or inaccurate information. I'll take it again. A misconception is a mistaken idea, view, or opinion that is incorrect because it is based on faulty reasoning, lack of understanding, or inaccurate information. It is generally characterized by a widespread false belief about how something works. Please, are you listening to me? And I know some of you who already speak in tongues may be like, Pastor, no need to address all those misconceptions. Anybody that doesn't want to believe, let them go. We have caught it. Let's just flow with what we have caught. Some people will say, the things of the spirit cannot be taught. It can only be caught. Clock it. It's not like that. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1, concerning the spirituals, I don't want you to be ignorant. And he began to explain. So people think things of the spirit cannot be explained. I don't know. You just came on me. You just came on me. How did you start speaking tongues? You see, nobody prayed for me. I cannot even explain it. I was just in church. He just came. Bim! That's how my own came. It came from heaven. And they believe it is more deep when it cannot be explained. That is actually when there is problem. Are you following me? We can explain it. Praise the Lord. Let me also say this. The power of a misconception. Don't disregard a misconception. A misconception can be very, very dangerous. Have you ever been lied against before? Somebody lied against you and said you did something that you did not do. How did you feel? Especially when you were not given a chance to explain yourself. How did you feel? Somebody should tell me. How did you feel? You felt so angry, right? You know, something happened one time. There was a robbery in a certain place. And before the police came, the robbers had gone. And so a young man was wearing singlet and just passing by. And he happened to have a big chest. He had six packs, biceps and triceps. And he was just jogging. And he didn't know what happened. He was just jogging. And painfully enough, he was not keeping dreads. He was just jogging and passing. And the police came and said, where are they? Where are they? And he started running. They said, suspect. They caught him. Took him to prison. And said, you are part of the robbers. He said, which robbers? I don't know. What are you talking about? And he slept in cell. They had to pay money to bail him. And guess what? If his family could not fight, he would have been there for longer. That's the power of a misconception. Are you with me? Please, are you with me? You know, even in the Bible, the apostles of Jesus had a misconception. They believed that only the Jews should receive salvation and be saved. And this misconception was so powerful to the degree that in Acts chapter 10, Jesus was trying to convince Peter in a vision. God was telling Peter in a vision. And guess what? Peter responded to God, no, Lord. In a vision, God was trying to convince him, go and preach to Cornelius. And Peter was like, no, Lord. That means your mindset can resist the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? You can limit or resist or reject what God is giving to you freely because you have a misconception. Yes. Can I tell you something? More people should or would have spoken in tongues if there were no misconceptions. In every generation, from the very time of Jesus till today, people have had a problem with speaking in tongues. So I hope you know that. And so, we are going to contend for the faith by explaining and defending what the Bible says about it. Amen. So quickly, what are the misconceptions people have about speaking in tongues? Number one, speaking in tongues is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Have we heard that one before? If you have heard that misconception, raise your hand. I don't want to pray in tongues. So you have heard it before, raise your hand. I don't want to pray in tongues. Why? I don't want to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. Even I'm speaking in tongues, I don't even know what I'm saying. What if I'm cursing God? Please, are you with me? Jesus. Okay, I should go to Grand Patriot, right? Are you with me? So how do you respond to that? What does the Bible say about that? Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 from verse 22 to 32. Now I'll do something. I want a lady to read for me. If you're a lady and you are sure you have a sharp voice, a soprano voice. Raise your hand. Let me give you this mic to read for me. Matthew 12, verse 22. Okay. Matthew 12, from verse 22. 1, 2, 3, go.
Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb.
Go on.
And he healed him insomuch.
Verse 22. We are still in verse 22. Continue. And he healed him.
And healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw.
Pause. They brought a man that was possessed with a devil who was also blind and also dumb. And Jesus healed him. That means Jesus casted out the devil, right?
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. Before I go on, I want you to know that Jesus was the first person in the entire Bible to open a blind eye. And Jesus was also the first person to cast out demons. Before Jesus came, nobody ever opened a blind eye and nobody ever casted out a demon. This was one of the miracles that proved that Jesus is the Messiah of what the Jews called the Son of David. Are you with me? So go on.
Verse 23, and all the people were amazed and said, is not this the Son of David?
Hush. So now, Jesus casted out a demon. Not just that, he opened a blind eye and the people were amazed and said, is not this the Son of David? In other words, they were saying, are you sure we are not looking at the Messiah? Are you following me? Are you sure this is not the Christ that was sent to save the world? Verse 24.
But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils.
Pause. So when the Pharisees heard that the people were already contemplating, is this not the Messiah? Is this not the Son of David? They quickly rushed and began to change the narrative. And said, no, he cannot be the Son of David. He cannot be the Messiah. This one, this fellow, he's casting out devils by the prince of devils. By Beelzebub. Are you with me? Verse 25, go on.
And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand.
So Jesus quickly explained to them that your logic is flawed. How can Satan cast out devils? How can Satan cast out Satan? His kingdom is scattered now. You reason them as how now? Are you following me? Verse 26.
And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand?
Go on.
And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges.
So now, do you remember, if you're a Bible student, you remember that when Jesus began to cast out devils, there was other people that began to cast out devils in his name because they believed on him. Do you remember one time when Peter met Jesus and said, some other guys are casting out devils in your name? And Jesus said, he that is not against us is with us. Are you with me? So he was saying, your children who have believed in me are already doing what I'm doing. Are you following this? So go on.
But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you.
Glory. Glory! We'll talk about this in October, and I'll teach you how to cast out devils. Because casting out devils is one of the manifestations of the kingdom of God. Are you following me? 29.
Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house.
Go on.
He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad.
Go on.
Wherefore I say unto you,
pay attention now.
All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men.
Go on.
And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come.
Are you seeing this? So in the context of this story, what is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? Okay, I heard you're somebody else to try. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is number one, rejecting the Holy Spirit's testimony about Jesus as the Messiah, even when it is very clear to you. So that was what the Pharisees were doing. You have already seen that Jesus is the Messiah by the manifestation of the Spirit's power in opening the blind eye. Are you with me? And casting out devils, yet you resist that testimony of the Holy Spirit as Jesus, of Jesus as the Messiah, but you don't just stop there. You go further to get others to also resist that testimony. When a man rejects the Holy Spirit testimony of Jesus and goes further to make other people also reject that testimony, it is called blasphemy. Are you following this? When a person is rejecting the message of Christ and going further to get others to reject the message of Christ, it is called blasphemy. That's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, especially when it has been made very clear. Do you realize that the people who were resisting this testimony were the Pharisees? If there was anybody that could recognize the Messiah, it was the Pharisees. They knew it. They had the law. They had the prophets. They knew the scripture. So they knew when they saw it that this is the Messiah. Yet, after everything has been made clear, you reject it. That's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And so, why is it that God is saying he cannot forgive it? Is it because God is so angry and he has made up his mind to keep a grudge, a perpetual grudge against people like that? No, it's because blasphemers are not even seeking forgiveness. Somebody who is blaspheming against the Holy Spirit and rejecting Jesus' testimony is not trying to receive forgiveness. He's trying to not just reject it, he wants everybody to reject it. Are you with me? So, a person who is not seeking forgiveness will not receive it. Are you getting me? Praise the Lord. There is more to that, but for the sake of the context of this teaching, I will stop there. So, can somebody commit blasphemy today? Yes. How does a person commit blasphemy? When the gospel is preached, demonstrated with signs and wonders, and God is declaring his word, making it clear for people to see, the person openly rejects it, speaks against it, and goes to make other people reject it, he's committing blasphemy. Are you with me? So now, are you seeing that according to the Bible, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit has no business with speaking in tongues? Are you following me? By the Bible account, there is no connection between blasphemy and speaking in tongues. Are you following this? Are you following me? Oh, Jesus. I need feedback. Also, I want to say, under this misconception, there are some people that say that they don't want to speak in tongues because they believe that if they speak in tongues, they can open themselves to an evil spirit. Have you heard that one before? Some of you have heard that one before, right? I see a hand. They believe that, I don't want to speak in tongues. What if I'm speaking in tongues now? Or I'm trying to say, Lord, I want the gift of the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues, and I get in an evil spirit. Luke chapter 11. You know, a sister in this church met me. She said, Pastor, I don't like you. I said, why? He said, every time I come with an argument to church, you always have a way to answer it and clear everything. I don't have anything to argue again. I said, that's why it's church. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 11. From verse 11 to 13. The Bible says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Oh, I forgot. I need an lady to read for me. Where is our birthday lady, Victoria Daniel? Yesterday was your birthday. Yeah, so stand up and read. Okay. Luke 11, from verse 11 to 13.
If a son shall ask bread of any of you,
mm-hmm,
that is a father, will he give him a stone?
Mm-hmm.
Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent?
Mm-hmm.
Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?
Mm-hmm.
If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask of him?
So, please, you can sit down. It says, if you ask your father, or if you are a father and your son is asking you for a bread, will you give him stone? Or if he comes to you saying he wants egg, will you give him a serpent? Or if he's saying he wants fish, will you give him a scorpion? And then he says, if ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Do you know what this means? It means that you cannot come to God for the Holy Spirit or for a gift of the Holy Spirit and receive a stone or receive a scorpion or receive a serpent. Please, are you with me? And to actually understand what those things mean, scorpions and serpents throughout the Bible were prophetic symbols to signify demonic spirits. Are you with me? Many times in the Bible, they signify demonic spirits. In Numbers chapter 21 from verse 5 to verse 9, you will see the people complaining against God. The Bible says they murmured against God and murmured against Moses. And then in verse 6, there were fiery serpents that came among the people and beat the people and people died. That's also a war though. People that complain, everything they are complaining. They are complaining, murmuring against God, murmuring against everything. He's telling you that you can activate the activity of demonic spirits by complaining. Tell somebody, stop complaining. Start giving thanks. You will even see in Revelation chapter 9 where he says a smoke came out from a pit and the smoke became scorpions. That's intimate, that's representing demonic spirits. However, even if it was not clear what I just said, Luke chapter 10 from verse 19, Jesus teaching, he says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." You missed a place to shout glory. How do you respond, Seth, when you see texts like this? You know, some people, they are too carnal, unresponsive to spiritual things. Every small time, Mbappe. Mbappe is up on now. He will not eat it. God has to show mercy on you. When it comes to football, so much energy, but Jesus is telling you, "I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions." He consigned me. Shout glory, Jejo. Say after me, "I have power over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." Now, you also need to realize that this explanation of serpents and scorpions as representations of the power of the enemy is still in this same book of Luke. It is in Luke chapter 11 that Jesus is now saying that if you ask God for bread, for fish, for egg, he will not give you a scorpion. He will not give you a stone. He will not give you a serpent. That's proof that nobody comes to the Lord for the Holy Spirit or for a gift of the Holy Spirit and goes back with a demonic spirit. Shout glory. Glory! Say, "Thank you, Jesus." Thank you, Jesus. I'm trying to get you to respond to the word of God, embrace the things of the Spirit. That's important too. Have you given somebody money before and you give the person maybe 1,000 naira and the person just said, "Thank you," and moved on and went on going his way? Then somebody else, you give the person 500 naira. The person's like, "Wow, thank you. Kai, you don't know what you have done for me. Thank you. Kai, I'm grateful." You will want to give the other person that was more expressive more, right? The same thing happens in the spirit. Jesus looks at the way you respond to him, respond to his word, and determines how much he gives you. I've stayed around the spirit realm for a long time. What I just said can be the difference between greatness and mediocrity. Praise the Lord. So is that clear? So number one, speaking in tongues is not blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Number two, when you speak in tongues, you will not get an evil spirit. Are you with me? When you are trusting God for the gift of speaking in tongues, you will not get a demonic spirit. The next one, popular one. People say speaking in tongues is not for everybody. They say things like, me, I have my own gifts. You have your gifts. My own gift is whatever. My own gift is speaking in tongues. Me, my own is. Those people, most of them, they don't even have any. They don't manifest anything. See, my own gift is the gift of love. No. All believers are to walk in love. Are you with me? Please, pardon me if I'm not really shouting and jumping around. It's a Bible study service, right? It's not like faith series. I was shouting. Everybody was awake. You can't sleep. Okay. Speaking in tongues is not for everyone. What does the Bible have to say about this? First of all, Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 17, Jesus said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. So, you know, I talked about this online and somebody came to my comment section and said, it's not for everybody. He began to say the manuscripts, in some manuscripts, Mark chapter 16, Oga, don't go and write Bible. The Bible, the canon of scripture that has been closed more than 1,000 years before you were born. You cannot come in 2026 and come and edit what Jesus said. Say the manuscript. Go and find the manuscript and show me. The Bible we have, Jesus said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Question. Glory. Question. Do people still believe in Jesus today? Answer me. Yes, are you a believer in Jesus? Yes, then Jesus says, if you believe in him, you will. These signs should be following you. That means if you believe in him and you are not yet speaking in tongues or you have not casted out the devil before, it's not his fault. There is something you need to know that you don't know. There is a training you need in Christ that you don't yet have. Are you with me? He said, for all believers. Also, everywhere that the Holy Ghost was given from the church, from the beginning of the church in Acts chapter 2, it was every believer that spoke in tongues. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. Everywhere, all believers, like I usually say humorously. In Acts chapter 2, there were 120 people. 120 Christians. If there was any time for Jesus to clearly show that it was not for everybody, it was that day. Jesus should have just come in a cloud and say, my children, I know you are seeking me for the Holy Spirit. But I want to announce to you, the Holy Spirit is not for everybody. The Holy Ghost will not make everybody speak in tongues. So now, I'm going to call out those that will speak in tongues. Peter, where are you? Come out. John, where are you? Present, come out. Nicholas, you're not serious. It's not for you. It's not for you. You're not a serious guy. Bartholomew, no, you are very, very, very serious. You are very unserious. Tongues is not for you. Please stay where you are. So we have Peter, we have John. Where is James? James, please come out. My children, I have selected the people who tongues is for. Receive it now. And they will start speaking. Rack up, and everybody will be shouting, hallelujah, glory, glory. We don't speak in tongues, we just speak in English. Glory, glory. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, thank you. You are worthy. Wow, thank you for selecting those who will speak in tongues in this church. Is that what happened? Let's read what happened. Acts chapter 2. No, don't mind me. I have a very vivid imagination. If that was what happened, it would have been very easy. Everybody, Acts chapter 2, verse 4. 1, 2, 3, go. And they were... Some of you are angry with me. Everybody read. Wake up and read. 1, 2, 3, go. Filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues. As the Spirit gave them utterance, they were what? All filled. Say after me, all. Say all filled.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Now, somebody may want to bring 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 30, where the Bible says, have all the gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Somebody can see this text and say, I got you. So what's this saying there? First of all, when the Bible says, do all speak with tongues, it is different from saying, can all speak with tongues? Every believer, according to Jesus, has the ability to do. But some believers will not speak in tongues because they reject it. That's one. Some because of ignorance. But then, the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is talking about particular gifts of the Spirit that not everybody will manifest. So let me show you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 10. Or let me read from verse 7. From verse 7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles. Jump to verse 10, please. To another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues. This particular operation of the Spirit of diverse kinds of tongues is not for every believer because it's diverse, different languages, different. Are you with me? Are you with me? I hope I'm not confused. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
This is separate from what every believer received. Because the Bible cannot contradict itself. We cannot see in the house of Cornelius, everybody spoke in tongues. In the upper room, everybody spoke in tongues. In Acts chapter 8, everybody spoke in tongues. In Acts chapter 19, everybody spoke in tongues. Then now in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he's not saying some don't speak. He's telling you that in the context of this special, diverse operation of the Spirit, not everybody does it. Are you with me? Just the same way, not everybody operates with the gift of healing. Not everybody operates with the knowledge, working of miracles. Not everybody will speak in this kind of tongues. There was a man called Paelting. Some of you have heard his name before. Paelting. When he came to Nigeria to preach, when he came to Otukpo to preach, his interpreter slid him and went for a government function. And he had to preach in a dorma. By the time SJLT climbed the stage and began to preach, he started speaking in a dorma clearly. Are you with me? However, that is not the tongues that is for every Christian. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Also, look at 1 Corinthians 14 from verse 23. The Bible says, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, pause. And there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say they are mad? So now, Paul was concerned that if there are people in church who have not been taught about this thing, they may come to our gathering and say we are mad. That means the Corinthian church, everybody could speak in tongues. Are you following me? Even in the Corinthian church in that day, all of them could speak in tongues. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, when preparing this teaching, one of the things that came to my mind is, this teaching, I pray is not too long. I pray. Then I felt like the Holy Ghost nudged me and say, if you keep trying to make very short teachings, when will the church develop? Let me tell you something. Many people that are criticizing the church online, saying, this is not the church of the apostles, we want the Bible church, they cannot stand Bible church. You know what Bible church is? Paul started a teaching service by 7 p.m. He taught from 7 p.m. till 2. Somebody, Eutychus, fell from the roof, from the window, and died. Paul went down, prayed for Eutychus. He came back to life. They went upstairs and taught till break of day.
First of all, is it poor self? I should even respect you. Which kind of strength? You did talk, just they go like that. Why were they giving so much attention to teaching? Maybe there was something about the teaching of the gospel that the early apostles understood that we are yet to understand. We're wondering why many people go to church and their lives are not changing. They look, and you wonder why, oh, their Christianity is not solid. Their feeding is different. If you feed wrongly, you will not grow well. Look at how long you spent in school to have sense. And people see it till now, after years in school, they still don't have sense. Then you think two hours in a week will help your life. You better follow God seriously. You did 6 years. No, primary school is more than 6 years now. There is nursery one, nursery two, nursery three. There is pre-nursery, sorry. Before nursery one to three. There is primary one to five. Some of you, your parents will say, you are too stubborn, primary six. Then from there, you did, that is 9 years already in primary school. 9 years, every day, 8 a.m. till 4 p.m. Jesus. Some of you will come back, they will still give you extra lesson. Teacher will teach you from 4 p.m. to 6:30. Say, you stubborn boy, hey, learn something. That person will still come and be cheating in jump. Cheating in YEC. Why? Then, your walk with God, you are just doing any like this. Man in green. Wake up, oh. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So number one, we have explained that speaking in tongues is not blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Number two, we have explained that when you speak in tongues, you will not get an evil spirit. Number three, we have explained that speaking in tongues is for everyone. Except that means speaking in tongues is for everyone. Glory. You know, Joel chapter 2, I guess from verse 18, Joel said, in the last days, he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, meaning that there will be no gender restriction. Your old men and your young men will dream dreams, meaning there will be no age restriction. Your sons and handmaidens, telling you that not even social class, even if you are a servant, even if you are a handmaiden, no matter your class in the society, is for everyone. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Also, it's important to study the Bible. When you see clear-cut instructions like 1 Corinthians 14, verse 39, wherefore, brethren, confess to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. Hey! Then we now have people, even denominations, that say, if they even catch people speaking in tongues, they say, hey, stop that. Are you following what I'm saying? Thank God for the word of God. Amen. Amen. Another misconception. I have two more. God will help me to finish quickly because we need to hurry to join. Some of us need to hurry to join the service in Gwarimpa. Some people believe that, okay, I agree. I believe in tongues. But I don't think we should all be speaking in tongues at the same time. Have you heard that one before? That how will we just gather like this? And everybody just rakadabada, elabadabada, da. What kind of thing is that? No. That if we should speak in tongues, one person should come and speak in tongues. And then that person should interpret. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, from verse 27 to 28, it says, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at most by three. And by course, let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. And let him speak to himself and to God. So wait. Silence does not mean don't say anything. It says speak to yourself and to God. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So they jump to this text and they don't follow the context before this text. Go to verse 6. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 6. Now brethren, if I come to you by speaking with tongues, what shall it profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? He's saying, if I come to you, if I come to preach this morning and I'm not speaking in a language you can understand, how will it profit you? Because that was what the Corinthian church was doing. And so, instead of correcting them outrightly, he says, if you come to talk in tongues, maybe I come now and all I'm doing is Libras, Katon, Baragash. You get it, right? You get the message. I believe you were blessed this service. Let's leave. Ah, sir, what did you say? He says, if I come and speak that way, and there is no interpreter, how will he bless you? Look at verse 16. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned say amen? So that means the context of tongues he was talking about here was for public prayer. There should be a point where you have finished saying the prayer and the church will say amen. Are you with me? Are you with me?
Yes,
now, to also really understand, because look at those clear expressions. If I come to you, unless you say amen when I give thanks, you should see that he's talking about leading a congregation. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 14, verse 18 to 19. Still Paul teaching. He says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. That's pride there. For this man to say, I speak with tongues more than ye all, the man, they pray in tongues. But well, let's go on, verse 19. Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach. Please, are you following me?
Yes, sir.
I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So he's saying he was trying to correct people that try to teach in other tongues. This thing used to happen those days in school. When we just caught the fire of speaking in tongues, you would just see two brothers. Likaba, rata, mbakata. So we understand. They don't understand nada. You see, he gets it, we get it, we get it. What did you say? You can't teach with tongues except there's an interpreter, right? In the same way, I cannot be preaching in Hausa when I know that people don't understand Hausa without an interpreter, right? But if I come here and I see you are praying in Hausa and talking to God, worshiping God, and that person is praying in Yoruba talking to God, should I not say, yes. Why using your language to talk to God? Because you are not leading the congregation. Are you following me?
Yes,
you are praying between yourself and God. Praise the Lord. Also, did you even realize that every time people spoke in tongues in the Bible, they did it together? In Acts chapter 2, they did it together. In Acts chapter 8, they did it together. In Cornelius' house, they did it together. They were all doing it together. It was not something that was done by turn. It is when you are leading the congregation and trying to give instructions or to teach that it should be done that way. Are you following me? Who remembers the Mashon camp? Camp meeting when we called for prophecies and interpretations and people came on the line and some people gave their prophetic word in tongues and somebody else will interpret. Who remembers that time that we were interpreting and all the interpretation was coming out? Australia. Those of them that were in camp meeting can remember. Don't miss camp meeting this year. Amen. Praise the Lord. Finally, for this morning, speaking in tongues, other languages. We handled that last week, right? Well, some people say that speaking in tongues, no, I don't. Speaking in tongues is not what people are doing. You must speak Ibibio. You must speak Hausa. You must speak. That's what happened in Acts chapter 2. That in Acts chapter 2, people heard their own languages. That this one we are speaking, people are not hearing their own languages. Well, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2 says, he that speaketh an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. So according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, he's telling you that speaking in tongues cannot be understood naturally. Please, are you with me? Let me go on. Let me check something. I hope you are not bored.
If you like, don't respond. I will teach. When you are watching Game of Thrones season 1 to season 100, you did not tire. There was a series called 24. People watched that thing for 24. See, just imagine. See interest. Somebody just shouted Jack Bauer. Who knows? Who remembers Jack Bauer? Some people, they don't understand what we are talking about. Say, me, I did village. I'm trying to hustle and survive. You are talking about what to concern Jack Bauer. I remember those days in the university. Mechanical engineering. We are there struggling to study, understand tribology. One guy said, I'm not killing myself. I'm going to watch Jack Bauer. This guy watched 24 twice. He came to class. I was red like this. Sir, guy, what's happening now? See, man, that series makes sense. That guy. What happened? So some of them that have watched, they were talking with themselves, me. Always on the mountain. I don't know what you are talking about. You know, you can watch a series twice for 24 hours. 1 hour teaching you. You don't be tired. You are delivered from carnality in the name of Jesus. So what happened in Acts chapter 2? Because if Acts chapter 2 says that people heard their languages, and 1 Corinthians 14 says that tongues is not languages, somebody is wrong. 1 Corinthians 14 or Acts chapter 2, who is correct and who is wrong? Maybe it is our understanding of Acts chapter 2 that is the problem. Please, are you with me? Go to Acts chapter 2. Let me see how fast I can run over this. Acts chapter 2 from verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Do you realize the Bible did not say that they began to speak in other languages or in the languages of the people? It just said they spoke in other tongues. Then look at verse 8. It says, and how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? It means there is more to the Acts chapter 2 account than meets the eye. Are you following me? And I want to give you an explanation you may never have heard before. So this is it. In Israel, there were two special feasts. There was the Feast of Passover and the Feast of Pentecost. Are you following me? The Passover signified the time when they were in Egypt and the angel of death came to destroy all the firstborns in the land of Egypt, and God told them that they should put blood on their lintels, that when I see the blood, I will pass over. And so they killed the lamb and put that blood. In the New Testament now, Jesus has become that Passover lamb. Remember, Jesus has become that Lamb of God, and by his blood, the judgment over the entire world, because we are in Christ, we have escaped it. So because we are under the blood now in Christ Jesus, when God is judging the world at the end of the age, we are free from that judgment. Please, are you with me? Are you with me? Now, that day of Passover was also the same day that Israel was freed from Egypt and they left Egypt to the promised land. But 50 days after that day, they were at the mountain of Mount Sinai to receive the law, and that was called Pentecost. Penti actually means 5 or 50. Are you with me? Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
God is my strength. I am coming from crusade. Amen.
Amen.
And then on the mountain, Moses received the law, and God spoke with the sound of a trumpet. In Exodus chapter 19, you see this from verse 7 to verse 9. In Exodus chapter 19, God spoke with the sound of a trumpet, and the voice came very loud and loud. So it seemed like what happened in Exodus chapter 19, God repeated in Acts chapter 2, but in a fulfillment of prophecy. And let me explain. In Acts chapter 19, because the law was given and the people rejected it, 3,000 people died. But in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 were saved. Are you seeing the connection? Also, the Jewish rabbis, I wanted to quote one rabbi for you now. Rabbi Zvi Yochanan. He said, according to the history of that day, when the sound of the trumpet was blown, or when God spoke with the sound of the trumpet, if you were there, you would have heard a sound of a trumpet. But for all the Israelites and all the nations that were there, they heard the voice of God in their own tongue. In fact, it was said that the voice of God that was heard by the citizens there was in 70 languages. If you read old time history, they would tell you that as at that time, the world had 70 nations. The 70 languages was the voice that came out. Well, please, are you with me? Was the sound that people heard, even though what came out was the sound of a trumpet. It was God in prophecy telling Israel that my plan of spreading the Spirit will be for all nations. And so the Jews that were there on that day, on the day of Pentecost, they knew that God had fulfilled his promise that he gave in the Old Testament. That was what happened. And that's why after that time, you never saw any place where speaking in tongues was likened to anybody's language. Are you with me? Any further questions? Somebody feels like asking one, right? Ask one. Let me see if we can take one. Just one. Okay.
Okay, I want to ask for a friend. Must we understand what we speak?
Because, no.
Okay, thank you.
1 Corinthians 12, 14, please. 1 Corinthians 14, from verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is what? Unfruitful. Let me tell you, you can't even understand it, even if you tried. What you can get is an interpretation per time. Are you with me? Because when you see 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2 that talks about mysteries. If I started telling you, okay, imagine in the year 2000, I was describing year 2026 to you. Will you understand it? Let me tell you something. Many years ago, I had a dream. And the dream, I was in a car. And the car was driving itself and was talking to me. I had this dream when I was in maybe 100 level. I was in a car. In fact, I was precisely in Lekki, Lagos, Nigeria. And the car was talking to me. So when I woke up from the dream, I was like, what kind of stupid dream is this? How can the car be talking to me? I actually, like, what is wrong with me? What kind of dream is this? I beg. They are self-driving cars now. So many times when you pray in tongues, you are participating with God to engage things in the spirit that you don't even know about. This is why we are talking about this thing. Because if you don't latch on to this kind of prayer, you will be praying too much with your limited understanding. There is so much that God wants to do with you and your praying so that you can seize the future before you see it. But if you reject it, you are just here praying about limited things. There are mysteries that you have to bring into the earth when you pray in the spirit like that. And if you don't bring them, many times they will not happen. One more question. I said one. You raised your hand late. So the second one, and that's it.
Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
My question is joint, but when it comes to speaking in tongues, can one speak in tongues and also interpret his tongues?
Yes.
tongues and interpretation?
Yes.
And secondly, can a person, I know you talked about it, but I didn't really get the teaching so much. Can a person flow in all the gifts of the Spirit as coming to what 1 Corinthians 12 says? He gave some, when he gave some the gift of word of knowledge, another.
So. Okay. So, your question is plenty now. So the first question is, can you speak in tongues and interpret? Yes. So how do you know? That's an art teaching. People should understand tongues before I talk about interpretation. Interpretation of tongues, like I explained last week, is not translation of tongues. An interpretation is when the Holy Spirit begins to give you the meaning, not exactly the translation, but the meaning. So how does that happen? How do you know that you are interpreting tongues? So you need, first of all, training to be able to pay attention to the work of the Spirit in your inward man. And you will do that when you are in a group of believers. When a simple way to know if you are interpreting right is, you and believers come and pray in tongues together. Pray in tongues. And then, when you receive something in your spirit, ask them what they are also receiving. If you do this for long, you will begin to learn that there will be times where you will receive something, other people with you will receive the same thing as proof that it's not only you that got it. Are you with me? That's how we knew I was supposed to start the church in Gwarinpa. We were praying here. I was praying. Pastor Kenny was praying. Mr. Mark was praying. Mr. Mark just stopped and said, "Pastor, I think God wants us to open a church in Gwarinpa." When he said it, I laughed. I just laughed out. He was like, "Pastor, what's it?" I opened my diary and said, "Just before you came, I was praying and I wrote this down." We were still discussing. Pastor Kenny just came in and said, "There's something in spirit. There's something in spirit." With this, I just told Mr. Mark, "Don't say anything. Don't say anything." So we prayed for about 5-10 minutes. He said, "God wants us to open a church in Gwarinpa." He said, "Ah." This is how we know what to do. This is how we know the teachings to do. Are you following me? But if you don't practice it, you will never know. So I can give you more experiences, but you have to practice. Some of you have been interpreting tongues a long time. You'll be praying in tongues. Somebody's face will be in your mind. "Check on this person. Check on this person. Check on this person." You'll be resisting it. The day you finally respond, you're like, "Ah, he came to me. He came to me." It's just that you have not learned how to. Some of you in school, God will be telling you, you after praying for long like that, you start feeling it. Go and read. Test is coming. That lecturer wants to give a test. He says, "It's not possible. It's not test time now." After you have resisted that thing for long, you now enter the class, tear out the sheet of paper. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so concerning flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, you can flow in all of them. However, as the Spirit leads, as the Spirit wills. So what we tell Christians, don't seek for the gifts of the Spirit, seek for the Spirit. If you have the Spirit, He will flow in His gift with you per time. Are you with me? But if you don't walk with the Spirit, you won't even be able to flow in His gifts. Many people think the gift of the Spirit is like alert. Bam, bam, you can now heal the sick. Bam, bam, bam. You have just been credited with the gift of discernment of Spirit. It doesn't work that way. It works by as you flow with God, as you keep doing the work of God, especially when you are committed to the cause of God, you are committed to the cause of Christ. I don't think there's any major gift of the Spirit that have not flowed in by the grace of God. And if you ask me, I was not even planning to flow in those gifts when I did. The first time I had a very strong word of knowledge when church started, I was on the stage preaching. And while on the stage, my right leg began to pain me so much. I couldn't explain it. Where is this pain coming from? I was on the stage, I prayed for myself, "Father, let this pain leave me in the name of Jesus." After a while, it just clicked. Somebody in the church may be the one going through this pain. And I said, "There is somebody here. You have a pain." I'm sure the church that day will look at me and, "Pastor, it's flowing deep. My God. There is somebody here. You have a pain in your right knee." And then two people came out. I said, "This person is your right knee." One was left, one was right. The woman was actually her right knee. Actually, she had been having that pain for so long. Her daughter brought her for that service to be healed. Her first service, she was called out that way. 1 week later, she was healed. She drove to the church and gave us the biggest seed that we ever had at that time. One happened in Lagos Church last year. I was preaching. While the preaching was going on, my eyes just opened and I saw a woman's uterus. There were holes inside. And I saw that she could not carry a child. And I called the person out. I said, don't come out now because of the way people look at you. After the service, first timer was the one that walked up to me and said I was the one. I've never been able to carry a child for more than 12 weeks. Well, we have dedicated our babies. So, it's when you yield to God. You don't just sit down and say, Lord, give me. No, you just keep serving God. It will flow. You get me? Okay. Jump on your feet. Were you blessed? Someone's like, Pastor, just one more question. Let me try, okay. Was there any other person? You, okay. Don't worry, wait. You're an insider. It's good to see you, peace. So give her.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I have a friend. He's always against speaking in tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And we always battle with this word. He always said in act like when you brought out the Bible verse,
mm-hmm.
which says they all speak and a lot of people hear them. So he always stick in that particular word. And even if I tried explain to him several times, that is what is always speaking at. So I really want to understand that part.
Well, I explained it when I explained what happened in Acts chapter 2. However, for you to ask this question, it means I need to explain it again. Are you with me? Maybe another service, or you can meet me personally and I'll break it down. If I said anything that was not clear, don't worry. We will come back to it again. So raise your hands and say after me, Holy Spirit, I thank you for the gift of speaking in tongues. I embrace it with my heart. And I receive all you have for me in it. As I pray now, I am filled with your spirit. As I pray now, I am full of your glory. As I pray now, I connect with you. As I pray now, I connect with your power. I connect with your glory. As I pray now, let miracles happen in my life. Order my steps in your word. Order my steps in your will. If you can pray in tongues right now, begin to pray. There are some of you, you will begin to pray right now. You begin to pray right now. Shabranta kapalaka sombre ketelia. Thank you.